Thanks, Carolyn. Is it working? Can you hear me? A little bit. There we go. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship. Back in the sanctuary. Feels good to be in here, doesn't it? Feels good to me. And always, it feels like such a treat to worship with you. So thanks for being here, whether you're in person or joining us online. We're glad to worship together. There's lots of things starting up. This is the season where we get our program year kicked off. We'll start with our celebration, our coming home celebration on September 7th. So in 2 weeks, we'll have some special things happening in worship. We'll have a party after worship with a live jazz band, a popcorn bar, all good things outside in the parking lot. We're talking Tony's love language, yes. Live jazz. So we hope that you will make a point to for sure be here on September 7th so that we can kick off our year together. You'll find in the hallway some sign-ups that will help us be ready for a fall of worship together. There's opportunities to sign up to read, to greet, to host fellowship time, to help with communion, all different kinds of sign-ups out in the hallway this morning. I strongly encourage you to take a moment to check that out and sign your name 3 or 4 times throughout the fall. We have all the dates for the fall out there. So do check that out. Today we are going to bless all of our learners and educators in the space because many of you will start a new form of learning tomorrow, so we want to make sure we get a blessing in for that. Please check your announcements to see all the different things that are starting. Choir and Bible study. We have a new Bible study offering this fall, thanks to Clay Scott, an evening option. You'll find that under evening scripture study in your announcements, so check that out too. Our campus ministry will begin in September, all kinds of good things. Blessing of the Animals is coming up, so do take a moment at some point this morning or when you take your bulletin home to notice the things we have going on in the life of the church together. We're super glad you're here, especially if you are visiting for the first time. We hope you feel at home here. You'll find in your bulletin a connection card. We invite you to take a moment to fill that out and place that in the offering plate as it comes by later in worship. It helps us stay connected or get connected. So, I'm going to invite Piper to join me, and we are going to begin with our responsive call to worship, and we invite you to join us as well.
In the gift of this new day.
In the gift of the present moment.
In the gift of time and eternity intertwined.
Let us be grateful. Let us be attentive. Let us be open to what has never happened before. In the gift of this new day.
In the gift of the present moment.
In the gift of time and eternity intertwined, let us join together to worship the Holy One.
Thank you.
Please join me as we pray. Dear God, you are here with us now and tomorrow too, at school, work, or wherever we may be. Help us to keep you on our minds during this new year of learning. May this time together be good for you and for us. Amen.
Good morning, all. So I am standing in for our interim transition pastor, Rick Mixon, who is not able to be here. So if it looks like things are happening not as they normally would, that's because that's the case. But I'm grateful to be here. I'm a member of the church. If you don't know me, I'm Bill Foster, and pleased to stand in. We have a short scripture reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 58, beginning with verse 9. Then you shall call the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry, and satisfy the needs of the afflicted. Then your light shall arise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I have something I have to grab for it. Here we go. Come on up. We're going to sing, God is so good. I love this time of year. Oof. I love this time of year because there are new beginnings, and those new beginnings are all about learning. My favorite thing to learn about, do you know what it is? Math. Oh, I just love it. Do you love math? I love math. What are you excited to learn about? What else are we excited to learn about this year? Robotics. Ooh, seeing how high we can count to. I love the patterns and numbers. You're going to get to read new books, hear new stories. Yeah, play new games with friends. Ooh, it's so exciting. I can't hardly even stand it. Yeah, it's so good. And you know what? Here at church, we're going to do some new learning together too. Because in 2 weeks, we're going to get together in our usual classroom spaces, and we're going to hear the stories of God and God's people, and we're going to think about what does it mean to be about love in the world. And so all kinds of new, exciting things. But something else is new about this fall. We have two kids who have been, Benji, 1 second, who have been in church school, but now they're moving up to middle school, and so they're going to youth group. Gwen and Teresa. And we have been learning with them for so long and loving them for so long. And now they're going to be part of youth group to keep learning and to keep being loved and to show love. And so we have a gift for you today. I have mixed feelings about this always. It's always a little sad for me when kids grow up and move on to youth group because I miss the time with you, but I am delighted that you get to go and do more learning and loving with the youth group. So that's the Bible they use in youth group for you. Yeah. So we are going to do something today now. Has lots of prayers. There are 5 parts. Can you put your hands up like this? Benji, 1 second. 5. Can you do your 5 fingers? There are 5 parts to our prayer here. We are going to be praying that you kids have fun, that you learn, that you serve, and that you feel loved. We're going to pray that. And then after you, we're going to pray for the teenagers. We're going to invite them to stand up where they are. And then we're going to pray for those who are teachers. And then we're going to pray for those who are teachers in our space, that are leaders in this space. And we're going to pray for college students, too. We're going to do all of that. So can you help me keep track of the 5? The first one is you. So while we pray for you, I'm going to invite all of those out there to put your hands out of blessing. Would you put your hands towards all these kids? Kids, maybe would you turn your body to face the grown-ups and the teenagers? We're going to pray all these prayers because we love this time of learning, and we think using our brains is an important part of following Jesus. So we're going to pray this prayer over the kids. Here we go. Your church family, kiddos, believes that each one of you is a precious gift from God. And we pray that you will find joy and wonder in your learning. And may God bless you that you may develop hearts that care and minds that seek to understand God's world. Amen. That's one. Who's next? The youth. Teenagers, would you stand up if you are in middle school or high school, and would you stand up where you are? All right, grown-ups and kids, would you extend your hands towards them? We have 2 teenagers who are also helping in the nursery this morning, so we'll keep Alice and Asher in our prayers too, and all who couldn't be here today. Let's pray for them. Your church family believes that each of you is a gift from God with potential and possibility. We pray that you will have curious minds and compassionate hearts, that you will have courage in the face of peer pressure, that you will have a faith that finds concrete expressions of love in your daily life. May God bless you. May you grow in wisdom and truth. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. All right, that was two. What are we on now? The third group. The undergrads and graduate students. If you are an undergrad student or a graduate student, you're comfortable, would you please stand up and we will bless you today. All right, ready? Here's some more words for our undergrad and graduate students. You may be close to home or far from home, but this church family embraces you as its own. We pray that you will have open minds and faithful hearts, that you will find peace and wisdom in the face of competing demands and challenges, and that you will know that you are loved. May God bless you in your ongoing quest for knowledge and truth, that you may become more fully like Christ in thought, word, and deed. Amen. All right. All these learners in the space, and now we're going to bless the teachers, the educators. So if you are an educator outside of this space at any level, would you stand up? We want to pray over you too. We want to bless you for the good teaching that you're going to do this year. Oh, look at all these teachers. Oh, I love it. We're going to learn all kinds of new things. Okay, put your hands out. We're going to bless them too. Would you bless these teachers? Every day you stand alongside learners of all ages, offering wisdom and guidance and support. We pray that you will have every strength and resource you need to offer your gifts, and that you will find grace in the face of daily pressures, and that students and colleagues will perceive your faith. May God bless you, that you may model your lives on Jesus, who was the best teacher and friend. Amen. Ooh, blessings on you, teachers and educators. All right. And our fifth group, remember we said we had five groups? Our fifth group is all of those who, all those people who are going to be our teachers and our youth group leaders and our nursery caregivers. Would you stand up? And Bible study leaders and adult formation leaders, would you all stand up in the space? Those of you that are teachers? Yeah? Theodore, yes, that's you. Good, good, good. And maybe this is your time to say you want to be a teacher. Go ahead and stand right up, too. Theodora is on BCE, and she says, oh, Alex can be a teacher, so he's trying to figure out, do I stand up or not? Alex, you can stand up. We will bless you. All right, so for those that are leading here in this space, we give thanks for you, and now we pray you share your time and gifts as you teach and care for our babies, our children, our youth, and our adults. And as a congregation, we commit ourselves as learners, and we pray that God's Holy Spirit will nourish and equip you for the responsibility of nurturing the faith of others. All right, you may have a seat. So now, the congregation, I invite you all, and you'll see in your bulletin, a congregational response of our commitment to the important work of learning. So may God bless you, our teachers and volunteers, so that our faith, your faith may grow and be strengthened as you seek to lead others in a deeper relationship with Jesus and a stronger faith in God. And we respond now together using the words in the bulletin. We pray for you as you take up this holy task of education. May Jesus, the great teacher, guide you. May the Holy Spirit nurture you. And may the grace of God uphold you this school year and all the years to come. Amen. Let's learn together. Okay, we're going to head out. Head out to upstairs. Upstairs to children's ministry. Upstairs, yeah. To Lindsay. Upstairs, yeah. Let's go together.
Let's prepare our minds and hearts for prayer as we turn to the Lord.
Not today. Don't need them today. All right.
Our Lord, we come to you this day with many thoughts and cares on our mind. And here are just a few. As a people who value truth and integrity and who wish to commit to this and yet see in a world all around us corruption and falsehood, even in the highest places, we pray for ourselves to be committed to honesty and uprightness and to see that increase in our world. Our Lord, we choose to be a people who are proactive in love. And so in defiance of what too often we see as apathy and hatred around us, we pray within ourselves for continuing to learn understanding and peace, and in that way to see it increase in our world. Our Lord, as a people of faith, we want to embrace the mystery of faith. And yet we see all around us skepticism and cynicism. And so we pray for renewed humility and wonder within ourselves, and in this way to see it increase in our world. Our God, we celebrate your salvation, your message of salvation, your work of salvation, and yet we see all around us self-interest and human arrogance that would seem to fly in the face of this. And so we pray for compassion and faith to be renewed in our hearts and to increase in our world. There are so many needs, so many concerns, and here are just a few. We pray for an end to gun violence and for sensible gun control in this country. We pray for the people who are suffering untold in Gaza and in Ukraine and in Sudan, and for the people of Pakistan affected by the floods recently. We pray, O God, in every way for the healing of this planet, and we are so concerned about the changes we see in our planet and in the health of our planet. We pray for the hungry and unhoused, even around us every day. And we pray for all of those who live with difference, who find a world that is less than welcoming to them, and we pray that we would be different in that way, that we are continue to be fully welcoming, fully accepting, fully loving, as your Spirit would give us that leadership. And so, O God, in defiance of all that would oppose your purpose in this world among us, we choose again, by the power of your Spirit, to follow Christ. And we want to pray this morning as well for those among us who are having special needs. We pray for Bob Reynolds and John Vandervliet, for Becky Lepley and Adrian Moulton Headley, for Rob Snyder, for Marlene Francis, for Roberta House and Betty Doman, for Mervyn Ucarts and Esther Floyd, Catherine Cartier, Chuck Suits, Linda Burr, Marilyn Marsh, Dakota Lawson, Helga Mortensen, Greg DuBois, Cindy Okarski, Keith Maurer, Beth Granberry, Faye Key. We pray continually for the Pastor Search Committee and for their work. And we pray for Rick Zimmerman in his upcoming surgery. And we offer now, in the silence of our own hearts, other prayer requests that we have on our mind this morning. And as we continue to pray, not just now, but at all times, in the blessed name of Christ, we pray the words that Jesus first taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, in reflecting on our need for God, there is a passage of Scripture that I want to read that I think will have a bearing on the sermon to follow from Paul's letter to the Romans. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve God. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay," says the Holy One. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you'll heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And may God add God's blessing to this reading of God's word. This is good news for us, our friends, and God remembers us and forgives us so we might live as people of love and hope. We will sing our praises to the one who has made us whole. Thanks be to God. Amen. This is awkward. So I don't think in my 40 years of ordained ministry I've had the opportunity to preach a sermon I hadn't seen before, that I had not actually written. So I just want you to, I invite you to pray with me that God will indeed bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts, and may they be acceptable in God's sight. Amen. So this sermon is entitled, "To Dream a World." I will present it to you as best I can, and we will do our best and trust the Spirit of God to make meaning for us all with this. Miriam Therese Winter made something of a splash in the 1960s as the leader of a group of singing nuns known as the Medical Mission Sisters, which is actually the name of their order, the Medical Mission Sisters. The group's claim to fame was a recording of a very popular collection of simple folk-like songs titled Joy is Like the Rain. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, Rick sang the refrain to the wedding band from that collection. Words, an excerpt, I cannot come to the banquet, don't bother me now. End quote. Miriam Therese, or MT, as she is affectionately known, is still active at 87. Over the intervening years, she earned a BA in music from Catholic University, her master's degree in religious education from McMaster Divinity College, and a PhD in liturgical studies from Princeton. She's currently an emeritus professor of liturgy, worship, spirituality, and feminist studies at Hartford International University for Religion and Peace, where she established the Department of Liturgy, Worship, and Spirituality and founded the Women's Leadership Institute. A biographical note for her introduction into the State Hall of Fame in Connecticut notes that MT, quote, discovered the magic of words and music as a child. She wrote her first poem when she was just six, and a year later began to learn the piano. Her love of music followed her when, many years later, Winter joined the Medical Mission Sisters in Philadelphia, ready to begin her dream of traveling to developing nations and providing much-needed medical care. As a Medical Mission Sister, Winter has worked along the Thai-Cambodian border and in Ethiopia at refugee camps. She has also traveled in communities across Africa and into South Asia, India, to spread her music, as well as performing here in the West, in U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand. During her travels, she developed a new dream, that of spreading care and love through song rather than medicine. And she continues to transform the world with this ministry. Through workshops and lectures, prayers and songs, she addresses issues of justice and gender, peace and reconciliation, global inequality, and personal piety. There's a further biographical note about her from Hartford, where she is now, quoting her award-winning books on biblical women, feminist ritual and spirituality, more recently quantum spirituality, are the result of her penchant for exploring new and more authentic ways of living faithfully in a constantly evolving universe. End quote. She's written these words herself, quoting, the soul of the universe is divinity, present everywhere and in everything. I like that. Divinity present everywhere and in everything. In you and in me, in friend and foe, in all who share our sacred space and our hallowed planet. Her scholarship is rooted in what she likes to call the liturgy of life. This is shaped by her multifaceted experiences locally and around the world, especially among those who are powerless and poor, with women who are incarcerated, with any who are willing to help bring about a more just and peace-filled planet. While she relishes scholarship and research, Miriam Therese is at heart a singer of songs and a pioneer in introducing folk-style music into Catholic liturgical tradition. And those of you who are familiar at all with modern Catholic liturgical practice often will find folk music. So that's something I built and know. So thank you, Rick, for that. So Rick goes on. Among her many hymns, MT, Rick has most often turned to the one we sang today. So that would be the hymn I think we just sung. There's something hopeful, maybe even promising, in her expression of longing for a different kind of world. In today's words of preparation, she lays out a vision of the role of Christians in bringing about such a world. And quoting Miriam Therese, "We are the body of Christ when we open ourselves to the Spirit of Jesus and continue what Jesus began. But let us be very careful that we do not limit Jesus. The one who welcomed everyone left us a challenging perspective as our legacy. He identified with those who were hungry and thirsty and lacked proper clothes. Jesus identified with the sick, with the felon, with the stranger, saying, when we attend to their bodily needs, when we give food and drink, clothing and care and compassion, empathy and shelter to them, we're doing these things for him. For Christ's own body is one embodied with the divine in humanity. To dream a world. Another poet from an earlier time dreamed a dream of an even better world. I dream a world where a man, no other man will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth, share the bounties of the earth, and every human is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head and joy like a pearl attends the needs of all humankind, of such I dream my world. The words of Langston Hughes, like M.T. writing from the heart about the Harlem Renaissance, somehow he held out hope for, looking to the promise of and for a different world, a world in which people are free to share the bounty of the earth, where wretchedness will hang its head and joy attend the needs of all humankind, when love and peace will be a way of life. I think there's a link between the biblical and the theological underpinning for this week's focus hymn and last week's. Remember, Ruth Duck, this would be from last week, wrote, quote, "Brooding spirit, labor with us, aid the birthing of the new world yet to be, share your word of a world made new." And then we consider part of Paul's letter, which we read earlier, his letter to the Christians in Rome. He wrote, "For we know that the entire creation is groaning together and going through labor pains together, groaning within ourselves as we eagerly await our adoption, the redemption of our body." Remember, I said, Paul posits that there is embedded in the whole creation, us included, a deep longing to be centered in the God who made us, who loves us, and longs for our shalom, our well-being. I think that's worth repeating. Remember, Paul puts forth, there is embedded in the whole creation, us included, a deep longing to be centered in the God who made us, loves us, and longs for our shalom, our well-being. That means we're hardwired for this, all of us. And yet that's lacking for so many. Deep longing, vivid dreaming, hope against hope for a world that more closely reflects God's intention for a creation and a humanity that is fully engaged in the world of the coming kingdom of God. Oh, for a world where everyone respects each other's ways, where love is lived and all is done with justice and praise. Oh, for a world where good children spare. I'm thinking of Gaza and other places. Equality achieved. We welcome one world family and struggle with each choice that opens us to unity and gives our vision voice. The poor are rich, the weak are strong, the foolish ones are wise, turning the wisdom of the world on its head. Tell all who mourn, outcast belong, who perishes will rise. Oh, for a world preparing for God's glorious reign of peace, where time and tears will be no more, and all but love will cease. So there's a connection between these texts and these readings, guiding us toward the kind of world Langston Hughes dreams for us and Miriam Therese Winter sings about. These are our theological and ethical underpinnings, what it means for us to be the people of God, the body of Christ, to long for that which we're hardwired for and which we see around us so seldom, and even within us we struggle for. Times were tough and progress was slow in the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Call out for help, the prophet proclaims, and God will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, in other words, do what you can do to the extent you can do it, as God would lead you, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets to live in. You know, I was thinking of, this is now not Rick, this is Bill. I was thinking of something, one of my favorite quotes that seems apropos at the moment, from the writer Meg Wheatley, who wrote, surprisingly to me, about despair, that hope is not the antidote to despair. I know, I raise my eyebrow, right? I was like, that's not true. Of course hope is the antidote to despair. She says, no, hope is not the antidote to despair. It is deciding what it is you want to do about something you care about. And of course, hope springs from that. What are we going to do? Right? There's lots of words in this sermon, but they are important words, but they are both challenging us and empowering us to be the people we're called to be. And I think part of the challenge is deciding what is it we want to do about the things that really matter to us, right? In this way, we are about building together the beloved community. There's much here, and as you can tell, I've not read ahead, because there was no time to do so. But I think we're at a place where we can begin to draw together these final thoughts and ask God's continued blessing on us here in this late summer season. As many families are preparing for school, and the church year is beginning, and we continue in a time of transition in our own church, and our world continues to have the challenges we've touched on a bit today, both locally and globally, all things that can matter to us. This sermon has been a lot about a dream that we, if Rick is right, and I think so, we are hardwired for. Because we are God's people. And the tension and the frustration and the pain we feel is because the dream is not realized. We have glimpses of it. We have moments of working toward it. And yet so much is broken. A dream can be a beautiful thing. And to dream of a world in which we respect each other's ways, where love is lived and all is done with justice and with praise, where goods are shared and misery relieved, where truth is spoken, children are spared, and equality is achieved, has a great appeal to me. Doesn't it to you? Yeah. The thing is that as the writer of 3rd Isaiah and the Apostle Paul and so many others who have been, some of whom I've not read about today, but many, all remind us it is not enough just to dream. If we want a different world, we have to do something about it. We have to find ways to discipline our lives and commit ourselves to action. That is our high calling. As Miriam Therese, or MT, reminds us, we are the body of Christ when we open ourselves to the Spirit of Jesus and continue what he began. We welcome one world family in which we live out the motto of our church, open to all and closed to none. And yet we don't do it perfectly. And there's much work to be done. And yet we're empowered with the Spirit of the living God. And so let us continue, as we may struggle with each choice, to do so in faith, to do so together, and to bravely face the future that we have that opens us to unity and gives our vision voice. As we continue to journey, we are thankful for these writers and for the Scripture and for the Spirit of God. Let us dream a world as God dreams it, as we join together to sing that new world into being. Amen. We come to that moment in the service when we are able to do something, and that is to show as a token of our faith and our commitment, as we may be prepared to do so today, our gifts to support the work of this church. May God take them and bless them and use them to the upbuilding of God's own kingdom. now, O God, may the gifts we offer feed those who are hungry, as you have fed us and do feed us with your word. May these gifts give those who thirst for hope a cup which is overflowing. May our gifts be used to welcome all those who are your children, our siblings in this life. Amen and amen. And now, friends, let us take a moment to greet one another with a sign of peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of God be with you.
Thank you.
As you remain standing, friends, a word of thanks. First of all, Alice, to you for your music this morning, for standing in, for Zan alerting us that our pastor, for whom we pray this morning, it was not going to be able to make it. We trust he is well, fine, but not here this morning. Maybe more about that later. As we prepare for benediction, let me just say how thankful I am for the opportunity to be in worship with you, and thank you for your forbearance with me this morning in a most unusual sermon delivery. And so let us remain standing.